With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Achtung Millwall supports the Lions Food Hub, and all of our advertising revenues will be donated to support this fantastic initiative. It's now based at the Lions Centre on Bolina Road, and it's run by our own Kelly Webster. This is a friendly food bank supporting families in the Bermondsey and SE16 area. If you can help support the Lions Food Hub in any way, please visit at Lions Food Hub on Twitter or get in touch with us at Achtung Millwall. The Lions Food Hub. Come on, you Lions.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thrice welcome, dear listeners. Welcome one and all to Achtung Millwall. Midweek action at the Den. For tonight, the visit of Bristol City. Eighth place Bristol City to the Lions. Your Millwall team tonight, dear listeners. One or two changes from Saturday's pretty good performance up there at Nottingham Forest. Unlucky, as I've said on the previous show. In goal tonight, Bielkowski. Your back line is Murray Wallace, Sean Hutchinson, Daniel Ballard. The welcome, very welcome return of Danny Mack on the right side of the defence. And on the left will be Scott Malone. Midfield tonight, you've got Jules Saville and George Evans selected for the starting position tonight. Up front, the very promising and well-performing on Saturday is Shay Ojo, the lone player from Liverpool. Benik Afobe on the other side of Matt Smith, who starts tonight's proceedings. Gary Rowett speaking to the London News Online. Nearly said the News at Dent. The London News Online says, now we can be judged if we don't win championship matches. On the bench tonight is Jed Wallace. I think the ideal starting front line would be Wallace, Afobe and Ojo. Smith, I'm guessing, will be starting tonight. At some point, we'll surely see Jed. Old words from Gary. We've obviously had six draws so far this season, and that needs to be addressed. I thought he was a little bit downbeat in his post-match comments on Saturday. We were unlucky, especially with that shot from Matt Smith that hit the bar in the second half. But we really do need to turn this draws business around. We've still seen the meme online, draws. When you start to become an object of fun and ridicule, then that's when you've got problems. So it will be Mill to kick off, attacking the away end. This is Shay Ojo. Throwing was just slightly behind him on the edge of the D. Feeds Matt Smith inside the box. A ball across, deflected from right-sided corner. Little moment there. 2 minutes on the stadium clock. Bright start for the Lions. We played pretty brightly, I felt, up at City Ground on Saturday. And as we've said a few times, we really should have brought back the 3 points. There's going to be a right-sided corner with Scott Malone. Mill crowding the penalty area. You've got 1, 2, 5 blue shirts in and around the 6-yard box. In it comes. The Bristol City man goes tumbling. The goalkeeper takes in the midst of a melee. Oh, poor ball from Smith. Releases the 9 on 14 minutes in midfield. This is now the 8 overlapping on the right. That's a ball into the middle. That's headed to the edge of the penalty area. shot blocked, thankfully. Lions get away with that slightly. It's a ball trying to float it in over the top. That's it is over the top. Murray Wallace, the full team's through on goal. That's a brilliant, brilliant save by Bart Bielkowski. Error by Murray Wallace there. The ball evaded his head completely, allowing the full team through on goal on the right side. Probably a tight angle, but Bart had work to do and did it, dear listeners. We're talking about distribution on the show on Sunday. You might criticise Bart sometimes for his distribution, but you can't criticise him for his shot stopping and reflex goalkeeping. And that was a good example. It's a right-sided corner for Bristol City. In 16 minutes, whilst I waffle, they'll probably feel they should have done better from that chance. Malone, long ball forwards. He does feed Matt Smith, who gets clattered from behind. He got no help from the referee Saturday. He's getting none tonight. That was a definite bump in the back, but it does allow the Lions a chance to break forwards. Possibly that was the advantage being played there on 17. Little ball inside. This is George Evans. His ball is blocked, and Bristol bring away. Big shout out to Bill and Paula from Jersey, who I just met downstairs on the way in today. They're over for, I think Bill being somewhere of a romantic had taken to watch Jersey Bulls at Horley, I think they said, last night. And then it's down the Den tonight, his last of the Latin lovers, Bill. Lovely to see you both. So coming towards the halfway point of the first half. Some bright moments for the Lions. Also one or two opportunities for Bristol. Millwall are not looking at 100% capacity at the moment. Not firing on all cylinders, but when Ojo and Afobe click, they look a very dangerous combination. Ojo looks a very, very classy player. The consensus of the two people that I spoke to downstairs, coming upstairs, was that people want Rowett to change. I mean, in fairness to him, as he said to the London Online News, now he's got getting something towards a fully fit squad, there's entitled to be judged. Tonight's a big starting point for him. Most people, I think, don't want him sacked. They do want him to produce better football to watch, because it's been pretty, I sound like Larry David there, pretty dull so far. I don't think I've read out tonight's bench, dear listeners. It's Jules Long, Jake Cooper on the bench tonight, Keithton Beld on the bench. He did okay Saturday, I felt. Maybe we'll see him, because I don't think Evans so far for me is impressing. Jed Wallace, I'd expect to see. His inventiveness has been crucial. Will be crucial tonight from what I've seen so far. Tom Bradshaw, Ryan Leonard, and unlucky to be dropped, and Billy Mitch. Substitution took an absolute eternity from injury down. It's been gone about 2 minutes with nothing happening. It's not exactly been the most exciting game so far. And then add in a long stretch with nothing going on, it's soporific, dear listeners. One ball forward, it's a little ball into the box. Phoebe from close. Decent save by the goalkeeper. Ball forward, through the middle, found the Phoebe in space. His shot probably not hit hard enough. Goalkeeper bats it away for a right-sided corner, dear listeners. 32 minutes. Not been huge amounts of excitement to report, but that was a real opportunity. That should have been buried. Should have done better. Right-sided corner now for Scott Malone. Matt Smith being manhandled inside the six-yard box. In it comes, he's almost being rugby tackled in there, and the referee can't wait to blow his whistle. To the disagreement of block one, at least. Hutchinson, a little run forward, he finds George Evans on the right. Can he get a decent cross in? And put his... Oh, unlucky! wicked header from Afobe. Great save by the goalkeeper on the left post. Great cross, great header. Mill's best chance, apart from the Afobe chance earlier on perhaps, but that was a good save. Ball back into the mix. That's Smith ball going away through. The goalkeeper takes him and immediately goes to ground. Unlucky there, Benik Afobe. Last few seconds of the first half, the listeners. It's been a bitty, scruffy, slightly uninteresting half in some ways. A decent chance at the end there for Benik Afobe, and one earlier on. Bristol had an opportunity on that with that great save from Barr. So probably 0-0 is probably par for the course. There's the half-time whistle. Millwall 0, Bristol City 0. Draws continues to strike. We'll be back after these messages, dear listeners.
Achtung, Millwall.
A lot of downbeat comment on Twitter, dear listeners, at half time. Just reading one from my mate Bill Henshaw, referring to how long it takes him to drive over to the Den on a weekday or a Saturday, for that matter, and how much the poor quality of football is depressing him and how he resents that journey. Know where you're at, Bill. We need a big second half here, mate, that's for sure. Bristol got to kick us off. We'll be attacking the away end in the second half. Lions will be attacking the Coldblow Lane, as first defined by Archbishop Bede in Jarrow Monastery in the Anglo-Saxon days of yore. And away we go. Discussing at half time with some of the chaps around me about the merits of Gary Rowett and his style. I mean, obviously we're speaking in the dullness of the moment here, but it there does need to be some spark. You need to bring the Den crowd into play, and this team at the moment under his management is struggling to do that. The East End console themselves with the traditional I can't read and I can't write song. This is Benik Afobe. He takes that long ball well in the centre circle. He feeds Danny Mack on the right. Let's get the ball forwards. Come on, Danny. Just runs into trouble slightly. That's the ball forwards from George Evans. Nice pass, actually, in the event. I thought he'd overhit it. This is Ojo. He's just run into the centre defence there, and red shirts bring it away. Bristol are a dislikable side. They roll around a lot. They fall over a lot. Ball floats in. That's Scott Malone with that cross towards Matt Smith. He's nowhere near it, unfortunately. Supervisor diligently removing beers down to my right. Big girl. Wouldn't argue with her. Three beers have been surrendered without any opposition down there, dear listeners. Not the Millwall, I know. Ball over the top. This is a chance now for Bristol for on goal. Can he get a shot away? Checks inside the box. He's run out of space. He's the nine. He's twisting. He's turning. Still got the ball. Gives the possession away. There was a moment there where a better player would have had that, but Millwall conceded possession. Ball's into the middle. Murray Wallace with a clear header clear there on the right side, but Bristol do keep possession. There's a little moment there where a better player might have expected to get a decent shot on goal. That's going to go for a throw-in. 55 minutes. Bristol in possession on the right side of the middle half. 57 minutes still. Ball's into the box. That should be cleared now by Danny Mack. Chance for Millwall to break. Not much movement in front of him. This is George Evans. Runs himself into trouble. Great brave chap tackled there by Dan Ballard, who gets clipped by the eight. He looks all right. He's getting up. Run it off, son. Very brave boy there, Dan Ballard. Looks like Jed Wallace is coming in, and it's going to be Smith, as I indeed predicted, coming out of the game. not been Matt Smith's best game, in fairness. It really is a weapon to be brought into the game rather than started. I know there's been reasons why he started Saturday and tonight. But I want to see him coming into the game late when we're chasing it. Really, the speed, movement and intelligence of Ojo, Wallace and Afobe should be our best forward line. Our first choice forward line. Nicely won by Jules Savra in midfield. He breaks. Trying to feed through to Afobe. Dog ball down the middle. He's pushed over. It's got to be a penalty. It is a penalty. Benning Afobe barged over on the lovely, lovely through ball from Jules Savra. Millwall penalty. 62 minutes. As Jed shapes up to take. Keep your fingers crossed. Keep every bodily part that you have, dear listeners, crossed. Here we go, Jed Wallace. Yeah! 1-0 Jed Wallace! Burn it! He burned it! Right side of the goal, slammed home with authority, dear listeners. 1-0, this feels like a fucking weight off my shoulders. I feel like I've got a full tank of petrol. It again, right side, he gets it with power into the right side of the goal for 1-0. Nicely done, Jed Wallace. Then has shaken off his black dog of depression. And Churchill used to have his black dog of depression. Good old favourite song there, dear listeners. Implies that Bristol is a rural ideal. I don't know if anyone's ever been to Bristol. Rural it ain't. It's another Millwall substitution. 14 for 24. Billy Mitchell coming in for Shay Ojo, who has looked a class above in all honesty tonight, and the rest of his Millwall colleagues. 72 minutes. Billy Mitch comes in. Good applause for Ojo, you can hear it. Nice move, Bristol coming down our central avenue, straight into the five now, inside the penalty area. He's gone over looking for a penalty. It's going to be a goal kick. Little moment there where I thought he might get that penalty he was looking for. He made a surging run the five and then fell over. 75 minutes, you do want that second goal cushion, dear listeners. Millwall haven't seen much in the way of danger from Bristol City in this second half, but you can never discount the possibility with this Millwall side. So the second goal will be lovely, please. Great God of football. 88 minutes, this is now Billy Mitchell. Little ball through, he's got Jules Savile free inside the penalty. What can he do? He checks, he's got red shirts in front of him. Now this is Billy Mitchell. Slam shot, well saved by the goalkeeper. 88 minutes, that was a big chance there for Billy. He'll probably feel he should have done better there. It was a good save though, in fairness, by the goalkeeper. Ticking towards 89 minutes, dear listeners. Much better second half for the Lions since the introduction of Jed Wallace. The winning of the penalty, we've had more movement. From that point onwards, I say it was a pretty good performance, but prior to that, well, let's just draw a veil over it. Let's not talk about it anymore. Last few seconds, this will be last chance saloon for Bristol. Chance from to launch it forward from the offside call. Debatable, but anyway. Long angle diagonal ball. Ballard being manhandled. Referee sees nothing. There is 1-0 Millwall. Big, big, big weight off everyone's shoulders. The den explodes in joy. A much improved second half with the introduction of Jed Wallace, I thought. Prior to that, we were just going a little bit up a blind alley, but that's a huge win for Gary Rowett, who has had question marks raised over his management increasingly in recent weeks, all those draws. But that is a very, very well-worked win, and well-deserved. But there we are, dear listeners. Thank you for listening. I'm going to be back after these messages with Mr. Ryan Loftus to analyse this in some detail. Here we go.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Jerry Scarlack here, live from London Bridge Station, heading back to the greenery that is the home counties. We won, and I guess that's ultimately the most important thing, isn't it? 3 points, which obviously very pleased with. But I just don't get it, listeners. I just don't quite get it at the moment. And it goes back to Gary Rowett's formation and tactics. It's just all very, very strange. We'd never played that formation before. We played Ojo in a number 10 role, and two forwards, Smith and Afobe up top. And we'd never, I don't know why we did it, because Ojo's a winger. He plays better as a winger. He played very well against Nottingham Forest as a winger. Crossed the ball in, made the goal for Matt Smith when we scored. And it just didn't work going forward. I don't know if he's trialling new things, or he's thinking, you know, maybe this will work, I'll give it a go, see what happens. But Millwall have always been historically, under Rowett as well, and also under Harris, good with wingers, especially if you play Matt Smith, who needs crosses in the box. Essentially, for the first half, you know, we only have two wing-backs, who are the wide men. And, you know, there was a couple of times where all of a sudden the centre-back was getting forward and it was trying to do a 1-2 with a centre-half. I mean, you know, you look at that and you think, what the f*** going on here? You know, we were clueless going forward in the first half, which was frustrating. And I said, 35 minutes in, this most obvious change is Smith off, Jed Wallace on to play on the right. We know Jed's been unwell, so perhaps he couldn't play that long tonight. But, you know, we looked a lot better when he did come on. I thought Bristol City were fucking useless, absolute shite. Even when we went one up, they showed no ambition to try and win the game. And yeah, we did enough in the end, but we won a penalty, which I need to have a little look. Maybe it was offside, I don't know, might be shouting out my arse. Just haven't need to watch it back. Incredible penalty from Jed, top right, can't save that. And, you know, we win the game and then, you know, we go negative after we score again. You know, Ojo comes off, Billy Mitchell comes on, you know, looks like Malone's got a knock, which is bad. And, you know, Cooper comes on. But something's not fucking right still. And I don't quite understand his tactics still. And we've got a few games coming up where you look at it and you go, Barnsley have been poor, we're away from home there. And we've also got Luton at home, which we hope to win. But it's so flat at the Den at the moment, and it was one of the worst crowds I've actually ever seen on a midweek. Shocking. Don't know what it was for. Maybe it's because we're all bored, stiffless. Anyway, my train's here. So wish you well. It's a lady walking past with her old what's-her-name on. And come on, you Lions. Let's hope for more. Cheers.
So here's my voice note from last night's game. Good morning, dear listener. Let's get the positives out of the way. We won, obviously. We got the 3 points, and the run of draws is now over. And I'm obviously absolutely delighted with that, as should most fans be. So we're getting a little bit drab. I thought Afobe had a really good game. I thought he played really, really well. And I did mention to a few people around me that I'd like to see him sign on a permanent if he keeps up this form for the remainder of the season. Obviously, we're only 10 games in, so still a bit of a journey to go on. We didn't really have a lot to do defensively. I know there was a slip from Murray Wallace, but Bart was very, very quiet, apart from maybe one or two little things he had to do. And Jed is Jed, isn't he? Walter as well. What was it, 4 minutes after coming on, he scores a penalty, a lovely through ball from Saville. It wasn't great last night. It wasn't great. There was, again, more wayward passing, very reminiscent, as I made a note on the Coventry game, that a lot of their possession was because we were misplacing passes. I remember a few times we'd done well to bring the ball back and then just go for it back to Bristol City in the midfield. And once again, it just felt a little lacklustre, didn't it? It felt like I said it half tongue in cheek, but it felt like a bit like I sort of seeing a deflated balloon after a party, didn't it? Because there just wasn't much there. I mean, the fans are Millwall's biggest weapon. There's no doubt about that. Well, aside from Jed Wallace, and as Nick has said before, and fans have said before, there's an element where you need to bring them into the game, and I don't think they're being brought into the game. I agree with the comment about Bristol City that even when they were losing, they didn't even look like they wanted to win. I remember at one point when we were 1-0 up, they were passing the ball across their back line and we had some people around saying, oh, go close them down, but just let them play it. I mean, they're 1-0 down, they're playing across the back line, so I think that did help us a bit. But I think in conclusion, once again, it shows just how reliant we are on Jed Wallace, because when he was on the pitch, he totally changed the game. Again, it's a big 3 points, not another home game now until the 16th of October. Yeah, let's see how we are on the road. Let's stay positive. 14th place. At least we won't go down. How many lines?
Achtung, Mehlball.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back after the break, dear listeners. Joining me now to chew over the cud of last night's mixed bag of a performance for me is Mr. Ryan Loftus. How are you doing, Ryan?
I am very well. All the better for 3 points. How are you doing yourself, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I said in my real-time flow of consciousness that it felt like a weight had been lifted from everyone's shoulders. And it's kind of a weird thing to say, given that we're quite early in the season. But I found last night, I want to try and be optimistic, listeners, on this show, but I found last night a bit of a mixed bag of a performance, Ryan. What did you make of it last night? How did you see things?
Yeah, I agree. It was a very typical performance that we're getting used to be honest. It was one of the ones that you imagine would end in a draw that we happened to get a win in. It's probably a performance we've seen a lot from the Lions this season, where we have a decent number of chances. We play pretty well, probably just edge it in terms of who's the better side. And in this one, you know, we get a penalty and get the 3 points, whereas we've seen countless times this season already and last season where sometimes it just doesn't go our way and we come away with another draw. So definitely positives. But yeah, definitely a mixed bag. I definitely agree with that.
I mean, we've had this conversation quite a few times between all of us on the show, Ryan. And, you know, I think it's a fundamental thing about going to watch football at any level, any kind. You kind of got to enjoy it, you know. And certainly the first half was, we started brightly. I've got no notes. I'm speaking purely from memory here, listeners. We started brightly enough without creating any real decisive chances. And I'd say the same for Bristol. They also had loads of possession in their style and didn't quite create much. But then we did get opportunities towards the end of the half. I mean, two moments really spring to mind fell to Benik Afobe. The first chance was like a headed ball, I believe it was a headed pass through. I think it was George Evans that put him through there, Ryan. And you probably think he ought to have done better with that first chance. Is that being overly critical, do you think?
No, I think he probably should have done. I think, an on-form Bennett probably puts that away. I think watching it back, it's a harder chance maybe than it looked. I think, you know, the ball's coming over his shoulder and
difficult, yeah, and strike.
Bentley,
yeah,
very, very close to the keeper. So Bentley, you know, just had to get off his line quickly and kind of get in the way. So probably one of those with a little bit of hindsight, you say harder than it looked, but you'd still be hoping he'd put it away. And then his header a bit later on as well, linking up with Evans again. That was a harder chance that he got closer from, but you know,
it's a good save. I thought.
Well, it's a classic. Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was a save or it hit the post, but either way, it was, you know, definitely a good opportunity. It's just a classic one of, you know, putting these chances in the net.
Yeah.
It's like that's why I said at the beginning, it's one that we could have easily seen drawn and been bemoaning those two chances of if only we had a striker who could put the ball in the net. I think this time, obviously, we get the penalty a bit later on, but that miss could have been a big moment after the game.
Well, I must admit, I mean, at half-time, 0-0, I mean, everything you said about here we go with another draw, I mean, whether that be a 0-0 or a 1-1, I wasn't too sure at that stage. It was hard to see. It was hard to see many moments coming our way. To be fair to the Lions, once the substitution, which was the right substitution, I thought, of Matt Smith for Jed Wallace, once that moment came, then we looked much more inventive, and we had what I think probably Gary Rowett would choose in his ideal world as his ideal front three in Bennett, Mofobe, Shay Ojo, and Jed Wallace, because, you know, after Jed's introduction, Ryan, I felt we just showed much more intelligence and movement. I mean, Matt Smith, we know Matt Smith. We know what he brings. We know what he can't bring. I think he's best employed as a kind of a late substitution coming into a game when we need to batter our way through rather than employ guile. So it's probably the other way round for us last night than ideally Gary would want. But certainly once Jed came in, we looked a slightly different side from there onwards.
Yeah, definitely. I asked Rowett with that actually after the game, because I think it's the first time that we've got a proper glimpse of Bennett, Ojo and Jed on the pitch at the same time. And it is a completely different prospect. It's a bit more similar to, you know, a front three we had when he came in, you know, with a bit more pace.
Yeah.
Would definitely be a better on the counter-attack. It was fair enough. I think he said Smith kind of earned his chance, you know, been getting goals and not really a reason to drop him, obviously, with Jed not quite back at...
No.
Which is fair enough. It does just massively limit your play, obviously. I'd agree that he's better off the bench when teams are sitting a bit deeper later on. And, you know, we've seen the amount of times he's come on off the bench and wreaked havoc. But that front three does look promising. I think Ojo, I wasn't convinced with him as the kind of 10. He played, you know, very much through the middle in the first half. But
yeah.
You can see he struggled to get on the ball. He was very much drifting out wide a lot of the time. You know, that's where he's used to playing. So maybe it was quite a lot to ask of him in a team where he's not quite gelled with everyone yet. But imagine with some game time with Bennick and Jed, if they can all stay fit at the same time.
Build an understanding. Like
it does look like a good front three. You can see at times when Bennick has played off the left, he doesn't have that understanding with Malone yet. But you can envision those two linking up well. You know, we don't know how injured Malone is yet, but... you can imagine those two would link up quite well. So there's signs of it going more positively for the time being.
I agree. I agree. I mean, the end part of the game, obviously Bristol started to just get the ball at us a little bit as the last few minutes. There's always got to be a nervy late finish at the Den, listeners. You can't ever have it easy. I was praying for that two-goal cushion, but we couldn't get that. But overall, I mean, I think once we got probably our first choice front three in Ojo and Afobe and Jed. You're right. You could see glimpses of what could be laying ahead for us. I mean, I'm just reading an article here, Ryan. He's speaking with Richard Corley of the London News Online. And he says, now we can be judged if we don't win championship matches. So, you know, big talk before the game in a sense. But he said, with players coming back from injury and the attacking options being back available, I think it's fair to judge us if we don't win games. Well, he did win games last night. The decisive moment being that exquisite through ball from Jules Saville to find Bennett and then draw the foul inside the penalty area. Because that was a thing of beauty, I thought.
Yeah, fantastic pass. I saw one tweet saying, it's the sort of pass we were waiting 2 seasons for Ryan Woodson, which did make me laugh. But, brilliant pass. I thought Savo had a really good game last night. I've seen quite a few comments about our midfield looking a bit stretched at times and a bit chaotic, which I think is true. I think playing the two with the three centre-backs behind them, it gives them a lot of work to do, especially, Bristol City in the second half changed to have three in midfield. They changed up their shape a bit. And as soon as they're outnumbered, it does get quite stretched in that middle section. I think Brower kind of just prefers having the solidity at the back to keep it tight and deal with it when the threat comes. But I thought Savo had a really good game. Obviously, got his first league goal not too long ago, and that's a great assist, a great opportunity to create. And Bennett does well to win the penalty. I'm sure it's one of those where if that was given against us, you probably wouldn't be happy with it. But you'd swear on your mother's life that it was a penalty.
I called it in real time. And I'm a very impartial judge, Ryan, as you know. I called it a penalty. So
very much so, very much so. I thought Savo had a good game, and Afobe just kind of showing experience and a bit of know-how in drawing the foul there as well. And you don't really doubt Jed stepping up
No, he buried a penalty very, very well because, probably going to be our only real opportunity to score, and he had to take it, and that's easier said than done. And I thought he put it away very, very decisively. So well done, Jed. It's great to see him back, and it's great to see the inventiveness that he brings and seems to inspire in his colleagues around him as soon as he comes into a game run. Because I thought that was what was largely missing in that first half performance.
Yeah, I think Millwall are best, with people have mentioned Sean Hutchinson coming back and how much more solid we look. And it's so true how he had another excellent game last night, made a few late tackles and late blocks. He kind of helped Bart when Murray Wallace made the mistake and Andy Vyman went through, recovered for that. And it was a couple in the second half as well. It's Jed and Hutch are the two players where if Hutch is in the defence, their confidence
it feels better. Yeah.
And when Jed's in, the same with the attack, everyone's a bit more confident. So, the two of them haven't been on the pitch a lot this season at the same time. So with those two in, the whole team does have a better feel to it. It's a bit of a cliche by now, but it's just keeping players fit and being able to pick the best 11. I thought having Danny Mac back in the team, you can see the impact it makes having a
absolutely
right back. Yep. I mean, every time I watch him, he looks like a fantastic player. He's going to be a top Millwall right back, I think. He's still very young, still learning the game. Obviously, this is his first full Championship season, since coming back from his loan last year. But with Marlon gone now, that spot is his. And, a few darting runs. There was a great recovery challenge in the first half, I remember him making.
Yeah.
And he just looks like a proper player. Someone with a bit of skill, great turn of pace, getting in behind. So him and Jed, I think that's going to be a match made in heaven, really, going forward.
I mean, it's great to see players like Hutch and Danny Mac, both Millwall players rather than on loan from other teams, because I'm suddenly aware that I'm heaping praise. I was just about to heap praise on Dan Ballard. I really like the look of, but he's not our player. He's an Arsenal loan. In a similar way with Shay Ojo and even Bennick, I suppose, they're all on loan to us. So it's just nice to be able to give a little bit of praise to players that are at least contracted to play for Millwall Football Club in that sense. Mm. As far as the forward look, to look forward a little bit from here, I felt coming away from the Den last night it gives us a good base. I mean, to get that win was a big thing off of our shoulders. And, from here, we can start to move forwards, I hope. I mean, we've got a trip to Barnsley on Saturday where we can at least maybe play our absorption game or whatever you want to call it and look to hit on the break a little bit more. But to get the home win was a big thing.
Yeah, and that's a couple now. The Blackpool one kind of, tail-ending this run. Before the game, I was trying to look at, obviously, we drew 5 in a row last season. This would have been a 5th draw in a row if we didn't get the win.
Yeah.
I was trying to look at the last time we drew 5 in a row in a season. And I went back to 1998, I think it was, and we still hadn't. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was the first time in Millwall's history that we'd drawn 5.
I can't think of any. Yeah, I mean, I go back a long way and none spring to mind. I haven't checked every single season, but generally, I think where you're not winning for any length of time, it becomes it becomes like a loss, doesn't it? Another draw starts to feel like another loss.
That's what in a way draws how they have been coming as well. They almost become more demoralizing than losses. It's, you know, it's the classic expression of the hope that kills you. Like, there's so many draws over the last couple of seasons. You look at them and go, we should have won that game. And that's almost more demoralizing than getting whacked 3-0 every week and just going, we're just no good. Because you're looking at the team being like, but we look good enough, we look competitive, and we just can't quite win. I think Barnsley, it's another one as well. If we beat Barnsley on Saturday, who, you know, haven't started well, you know, maybe a slight bogey side for us, a side that we historically struggle against. But if we can beat them, then you're going into an international break with run of 7 games in the league with 3 wins and 4 draws, and starting to move up the table would probably, you know, potentially be in the top half, you know, if not in the top 10, winning that game.
Well, and we like the optimism. I like the optimism of that.
Well, it's just, it's odd how the optics go, you know, with nicking a win. If you can make it 2 in a row and go into international break, 7 unbeaten, then it starts becoming rather than 4 without a win.
Yes.
All of a sudden, we've gone from 4 without a win to 7 unbeaten. And it just completely changes the mood.
It's true.
With players coming back from injury, you start to think, okay, maybe we can make something of this. Maybe we can get a run together. So it's interesting how quickly it can change. But I think that you mentioned earlier, obviously, you were praying for that second goal. I think that is just it at the moment. We should
just
have had
cushion.
That game. We should have had that game out of sight. Even Billy Mitchell's late chance
where Saad probably
could have taken on the shot himself, fumbled on it a little bit, and then Mitchell did well to get a shot away, and Bentley made another good save. But we need to start winning games comfortably. We need to start seeing games out comfortably rather than edge of your seat. I mean, I think I saw in the week, we very rarely score. I think it was Millwall T2 put it up, I'm not sure, but we don't score 2 goals very often.
No, we don't. No.
You know, and I think Rowett said that maybe even the season before last about how hard we have to work to get 1 goal. And that's not really changed. And that is a problem where, you know, 2 goals makes your life a lot easier. It means one mistake, like we saw in the first half, you know, where that ball just goes over Murray Wallace's head. One mistake like that and we could be 1-0 down very easily and the whole atmosphere changes. So we just need to start killing off games, or at least, you know, getting a second goal and just giving everyone a bit of breathing space, get the crowd to calm down a bit, you know, take the pressure off all the players on the pitch, and really, really, that's where the confidence is going to come from, rather than just getting 3 points in a home 1-0 that potentially could have gone either way.
Absolutely. I mean, my heart can't take these kind of late last 10 minute pressure finishes, Ryan. So, you know, come on, boys, we do need that second goal. I think it's the next level that we've got to move to. I think shaking this draw, I mean, shaking the injury crisis and then shaking the draw mentality, whatever way you want to put it, and then to get the win, which is what we did last night, and hopefully we'll press on Saturday. But the next level will be to win decisively. You're right. I mean, the second goal syndrome will be the thing that we've now got to tackle.
Yeah, I think the injuries coming back will help. It will be interesting to see how badly Scott Malone is injured. Obviously, he pulled up during that late sprint, and you could see him stretching out. Like, obviously, his quad went. It'd be interesting to see if that's just fatigue. Obviously, he plays a lot of minutes and does a lot of running. It'd be interesting to see if that's just fatigue and it just tightened up. Or, you know, he limped very, very gingerly off the pitch. So if it's a bad injury, I think he could surprisingly be a big miss for us. I know Harry always likes to bemoan the fact that our second most creative player is our left back. But you can also look at that flip side being that's our second most creative player who, if we don't have him, I think it's a very different side. You've got Murray Wallace potentially out of left wing back.
Yeah, this feels different, doesn't it?
Exactly. So hopefully he's not up for long. I imagine he won't play against Barnsley.
I doubt, looking at him, you know, as you say, he was very, very tender.
So hopefully it's just a, you know, week's bed rest and back for after the international break. But we just can't afford to keep getting injuries. It really kills us when our squad isn't massive. I found it odd that we had, you know, the squad makeup is very peculiar. We had 3 central midfielders on the bench.
Yeah,
and we only play 2 in the system, and it's odd how the squad looks at the moment. It's not quite right, you know. It's the balance isn't quite there. I wonder, you know, Rowett talks about wanting to change the results, obviously, and do something to stop the draws. But I find it very interesting that he hasn't once tried not playing five at the back, seemingly. You know, he might do it for late on in a game at a spell and to change it around slightly. But I wonder what the issue is there if he just doesn't feel like he has the personnel or the ability to do it. Because sometimes you think, you look at the team and a midfield three, you know, if you've got Evans, Leonard and Saville in there, if Evans, Leonard and Mitchell. We've got enough central midfielders now. Obviously, last season we had a spell where we couldn't seem to pay people in the crowd to play central midfield for us.
Yeah.
But now we've got a dearth of them. And you wonder, you know, could we potentially look at trying to play a back four and being a bit more expansive? Is that what is going to force the issue and make us, you know, push forward? But that doesn't really look like it's on the horizon. So for the time being, it is just finding that solution, and whether that's Ojo, Jed and Bennett coming in. You know, I was at least happy Rowett tried something different today from the start. You know, Afobe and Smith up top together. I don't really like Afobe off the left, but putting Ojo in as a 10, you know, you can see he's trying something to see if it works. But I wonder if maybe that starts from the back.
I know what you mean. I mean, I'm just looking at the team. I mean, Smith started last night because of injury reasons and so on. Normally, you wouldn't have that. You'd normally have, I think, the Ojo, Afobe, Jed Wallace, three up front. As you say, the midfield looks pretty solid, and there are choices on the bench. What there isn't a choice, because Conor Mahoney now is injured, but there's no one on that bench, which is George Longoal, Jake Cooper, Keefton Belt last night, Jed for Smith, Bradshaw, Leonard and Mitchell. There's nothing that I would call... there's no one that's going to come in and actually change a game there, Ryan, is there? There's no flair that's going to come in, some kind of... you know, quixotic kind of flair player that's going to come off the bench. Whether we have them within the ranks, and we've got players out on loan, and Tyler now is Bury is also injured, but we don't seem to have much in the way, once we get past Ojo, Afobe and Jed Wallace, in the way of players that can come in and unlock a defence or take the ball and run with it. You know, we are very functional, and there's no. It's not intended as a criticism, because you do need functional players in any squad, but there's nothing sitting on that bench who's going to come in and lift you out of your seat slightly, you know.
No, not at all.
There's the problem for me.
No, that I think that is one of the biggest problems we have at the moment, is that all the players we have are very much of a mold. We don't really have, you know, outside, you know, we don't really have much variety. I mean, you know, you look at, even like I mentioned, the midfielders. I mean, out of those five central midfielders that we've mentioned, so Saville and Evans, who started yesterday, then Keefton, Bell, Lennon and Mitchell on the bench, they're all very similar types of midfielders.
Yes.
So they're all pretty much box to box, probably a bit more defensive than they are attacking. I think Saville is the only one who's slightly different.
Hard working, 100% as I'd
say. Yeah, so it's not, and that's why, you know, Woods like him or lump him, I think. That is why the idea behind having him in the side last year was that he was a slightly different player. But,
yeah,
you know, that didn't seem to work out massively. Yeah. And it is a shame when, you know, there's been loads of times this season when it's a bit of a stalemate and we're slightly on top and, you know, you're right, we need to go for this. And you turn around and George Evans is stripping off, being like, right, we're going to put this centre-back / centre-mid on, who is supposedly going to give us the forward momentum that we need. And I think Billy Mitchell does do that a bit. He likes to run forward through the midfield. I think he likes to get in the box. Obviously, we saw towards the end of last game, and he's got great energy about him. Yeah. But it's not quite enough. You know, you wouldn't put your house on Tom Bradshaw coming in and changing again.
No.
Mason Bennett coming back from injury would help. But even then, it's relatively limited.
I mean, it wasn't a game overloaded with flair moments last night. But, you know, watching the impact of Jed when he came in, his willingness to try the unusual, the kind of flicks and the twists and the turns. And I saw a little bit with Ojo through the game. He looks like, you know, and you can see he's come from a club and a level where this is normal, so to speak. And Afobe also has intelligence on the ball. I mean, they just stand apart almost, the front three. Thankfully, we've got them, because I think they will click and they will work together. But
yeah,
I'd like to see sitting on our bench, some of the youngsters that we've clearly got that are on loan and, or, you know, been sent to the four corners of the kingdom. to learn their trades. I'd like to see them coming in and trying some of these little tricks and turns, the unusual. That's you know, it just it, this is why you got to watch football, Ryan. It's great watching a functional win, but sometimes you want to be you have your spirit lifted slightly, you know.
Yeah, it's really hard. The youngsters thing is an odd issue. It's I think the Championship in general is a very, very hard division to bring youngsters through in unless they're top quality. So that's why you see, you know, a lot of Premier League youngsters coming in and the best ones do well. So, you know, you look at Mason Mount when he was here last season, you look at the likes of Jack Grealish now who's gone on, when they're young and they can come in and do really well, that's because they're very, very good players. But there's plenty who come on loan, you know, a certain Troy Parrott. Say Jason Malumbi, who comes in and does well, but then hasn't really kicked on, is not really doing massively now, but obviously back out on loan at West Brom. Even, you know, look at Shea Ojo's just continual loan spells. So it's a hard league for Premier League players to kind of develop in. So bringing your own players through, and I know Harris mentioned this before when he was in the Championship, and we seem to be in a bit of a period where when we're in League One, it's very easy to do that. To put a youngster in who can make mistakes, you have a bit more room to manoeuvre in League One. But the difference in quality is such that Tyler Bury, who's doing great things at Hartlepool, obviously until his injury in League Two, that two-division jump is massive. I mean, there's almost a whole divisional divide between League One and League and the Championship now. The gap in quality is massive, and that's obviously parachute payments and a lot of other reasons that's happened. But a player that like Olafe, you know, a player that has got a lot of goals in the National League might look completely out of place in the Championship. And, you know, you can say there's an argument for, you know, playing them, given the experience and let them get to that level. But in a short-term kind of attitude, when you've got a manager, and you know, this isn't questioning Gary Rowett's commitment to the club or the job he wants to do, he would say, and most managers would say, my result is to win matches and get points, you know. Or he might say, my job is to not draw matches. But it's a very hard environment to blood youngsters and get results when you don't have amazing youngsters. I mean, even after Bristol City, you have this youngster, Alex Scott, who I think has been playing for the England under-17s, under-21s maybe. And he is a very, very bright prospect. And the couple of the Bristol journalists after the game were asking, you know, why has he not come on? You know, we're all excited about him. And it was their assistant manager doing the press conference.
Pearson was away, and he
said it as it is, you know. He said, look, he's very, very young. He's not ready to just play every game. How we know he's going to be a very good player. We know he's going to be, you know, a very crucial player for us until he eventually moves on. They know how good he is, but that doesn't mean that at 17, I think he is, he's good enough to be playing every minute of every game at the moment. And that's the reality for youngsters, I think. It's a very hard place to balance the grind of getting wins and bringing through youngsters. So when you have someone like Harris, who we had before, he's committed to doing that and understands it a bit more and will risk those players. But for the time being, it's players like McNamara who has to go out and prove himself on loan, or you know, Billy Mitchell, who is a player of seemingly of good quality, but even he's still, you know, slightly struggling for minutes, and that's a bit fitness related, a bit form, but it's just patience, and it gets frustrating as a fan, but you can see where the managers are coming from, I guess.
Thankfully, we're overloaded with patience at the Den, so we're known for our patience. That is wonderful stuff, Ryan Loftus. Thank you for joining me this very Thursday morning.
Thank you very much, Nick.
Good to hear from you, and thank you to you, dear listeners, for tuning into this edition of Achtung Millwall Midweek Special. So until the weekend after the Barnsley game, we'll have an addition then. It's bye for now, and arrivederci Millwall.
Thank you for listening to Achtung Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?